This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Actually all of Europe and then the Muslims specifically. But can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, French and African footballer. So I started my career in Lyon, my hometown. Okay. After a couple of years as a professional, I went to London, played 3 years for West Ham, 2 years for Tottenham. And it's been 6 years until now that I play for Sevilla.
And you're still going?
Yeah, I still have a little bit to go. Not too long, but...
I don't think the Barcelona fans think you have a little bit to go. Yeah. You played great, mashallah. You taught them a little bit of a football lesson, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, if I can rest properly between the games, that's okay. I still have some, you know.
You're trying to compete with our Giggs here, Ryan Giggs, to see if you can go.
I think I cannot compete with him.
Jazakumullah khair. Listen, now, tell us, obviously, there are a lot of people out there who, some call you a convert, some call you a revert. The Muslims are very interested in your life story, not just because you're a footballer and everything that comes with that, but because you were and are a brilliant footballer, mashallah. You play with itqan, with ihsan, which is very important for the Muslims to look up to. In a time where, I guess, we don't have super high-quality role models. Tell us a little bit about the Islamic side of your story.
Yeah. I may prefer seeing myself as a revert. That's a nice word.
Sure.
But you know, in terms of technicality, maybe I would say I'm a convert. Although my father is from a Muslim background and Christian background, right. Because there is more or less 5% or 3% of the population of Mali.
And he was born in Mali.
Yeah, he was born in Mali. But there is a small percentage of the population who are Christian in Mali, and he was from a mixed family. And my mom's who is French. My mom who is French.
She's French.
She's French.
Okay.
And with a Christian background,
sure,
I would say.
Sure.
But we've been raised freely in terms of religion.
Right.
And I've decided to convert to Islam, I would say, when I was around 20. And I did it officially, let's say, taking the Shahada when I was 23, okay. More or less, 22, 23.
Publicly in London?
Yeah, in London. I was in London, yeah.
Which is also an interesting side of the story to us, especially in Britain and to that kind of Western English-speaking audience, because we have this idea that in France, their model of laissez-faire, that kind of secularism that they promote so much, makes it very difficult for Islam to flourish. We think, I guess, that the multicultural kind of model in England is a more easier, a more favorable model. Your experience from living in France and then coming to England, what would you say?
Yeah, I would say that multiculturalism in England is much easier. When I arrived in London, I was surprised and amazed by the difference of people walking down the street, and you know, and everybody accept that. And to be fair, nobody cares,
yes.
And that's how it should be.
Yes.
Nobody cares the way you dress, the way you are, the way you know, and that's the way it should be, to my point of view. After, from the French point of view, they see that as communitarism.
Okay.
You know.
Yes.
So they criticize a little bit because they said that they organize themselves in London, for example, as a small community, and they in their everyday life they don't mix too much with some other cultures. So everybody recreates their own background country into Britain, for example.
Yes.
And they criticize a little bit this, saying that in France now we want to live together, but sometimes they push you and they want to force you being the way they want.
Yes.
So it's a bit, you know, as I said many times, that there are bright side and bad sides in both sides, you know, I think. But to be fair, when I arrived in London, you know, I felt it like fresh air for me, and it felt very good to be in that kind of country when you can express and practice your religion freely without trying to justify yourself about anything. So it was good.
One of the things that I myself am involved in is promoting the concept of civic engagement. That's ethical, that's what it's all about now. Trying to really engage with the society to normalize the other. Because we're still seen as the other, whether it's because of a different skin color or because of a different religion or our practice, it's still the other, and it's just that ability to be able to normalize. What I'd like to ask you is that, what do you think the reason is between the difference or the ease that a Muslim might find, a practicing Muslim might find in England and France? Is it because they are more engaged in the UK, less so politically, for example, people standing for parliament or people getting involved in business and so on in France? What would you say about that?
First, this is great. I think, you know, Muslim being involved, Muslim, I would say any, I don't even like the term minority,
uh-huh.
because in terms of citizenship, I think there is no minority.
We are equal. Mm-hmm.
So I would say maybe in terms of religion, if there are some minority, I think it's really, really positive that they engage, they involve into life, whether it is politics, whether it is anything else.
Sports.
And, yeah, sports. And this is really, really positive for any society. Diversity in that kind of aspect, and I think it's more developed into Britain, into England than France. Of course, there is no doubt about it. I think immigration is more recent in France also, and there is only a couple of generation of immigrants in France, or a little bit more sometimes. And in England, I think the colonization was different. The goal of the colonization was more purely economical, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in France, I think they tried also to impose their way of thinking, their way of life, their way their religion, their, you know. But I think I would say that the goal of their colonization was a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I may be mistaken, but I think there are lot of little aspects like this that may facilitate the integration of Muslim or any other religion in Britain, mm-hmm. compared to France.
What about Spain? You've been there now 6 years now?
Yes, yeah, 6 years. It's a long time.
Sevilla?
Yeah, Sevilla. I would say that in Spain, they are quite late in terms of integration on Muslim or any other minority in terms of religion, I would say, because it's more recent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think until now, when they see some Muslim, they just look at them as immigrants, as foreigners, as, you know, they don't get involved too much into social life.
I guess your role then, as not only Muslim but Black African as such in Spain, I think is a very important, very highly pressurized role, right?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that in Spain there are more racist than any other country.
Which is interesting, because, you know, in England, we get that idea. Just from a football point of view, when it's always, let's kick racism out of football, it always seems to be blaming the Spanish.
Yeah. I think they're more advanced in that aspect in England. And that's great. In Spain, they have lots of work to do, but it's about their misconception and their misunderstanding and their ignorance about maybe other culture. That's it, because it is much lesser mixed society.
Right.
So they don't know the other, as you said before, as much as English and French.
Ashley Cole on the other end of the abuse now.
So that's why still long trip to go for the Spanish for this aspect. But nevertheless, I think since the day I arrived in Spain, I think I could do a very, very good job in terms of charity, in terms of expressing my own point of view about religion, about, you know, and a lot of people are really interested, genuinely interested in what I'm saying, in wanting to share some thing, some point of view with
some
me.
Insights.
Yeah. And I think it's a good proof for me that we shouldn't get any prejudice about anyone saying that the Spanish are more racist than this. No, it's just about trying to get involved, trying to share
and
trying to share some things with other culture, other religion, and we miss that so bad, you know, in Europe in general. And I think when we start blaming each other and try to discuss more, I think we will solve lots of problems and issues.
So on this issue itself, right, a lot of the international Muslim audience, they look at you. They've seen, I think, this reception, this positive reception to this role model. I'm talking about now the non-Muslims, right? That they have warmed to you, they've taken you as a favorite. Do you feel this pressure? Because we know that, mashallah, tabarakallah, you're a practicing Muslim, which is, you know, there are lots of Muslims playing football. We don't see the religion or the religious side very much. Do you feel that extra pressure when you're playing? Because you know your role, you're a very intelligent man, mashallah, you know what the effect is, you know your responsibility as well in front of Allah. Do you feel that extra pressure to do a bit more, especially when you know that every single thing that you do is analyzed? Like every time you score the goal, you've now patented the, you know, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the lifting of the hands and the two fingers. Do you feel that pressure, especially when the cameras are focusing? Every time someone comes onto the pitch as a substitute, they do the cross, and everyone is, you know. What do you think? What do you say about that?
I would say that I don't feel so much that pressure because I'm only being natural. And when you try being something, someone else, I think you can feel the pressure because you can say, "Oh gosh, maybe I'm gonna do something different or something bad one moment. I'm gonna show my true face to people."
Yes.
But when you natural and when you do things because you think they're right, and I don't care really if someone blame me because one day they say, "Oh, I'm disappointed because it didn't it didn't react as a real Muslim.
Yes, yes.
Because
yes.
I get cross. Yeah. I sometimes I really want. I'm really angry. I'm really so. Sometimes people are, he's not so good man. You know, I saw him. He was cross the other day. He was, you know, I'm a
human being.
Yeah, I'm a human being, and you know, I don't try to appear different as I am in private. You know, to people. So I'm just being myself, but. The responsibility, I like this word, more than pressure. I have a responsibility like anyone. And I know now that because what I've done in terms of the little I've done, in terms of charity, in terms of being like they call a role model for Muslims, or you know I have a responsibility. But as you said in the question itself, it's more the responsibility towards God, towards God. Mm-hmm. And not... I wouldn't say not that much, but first toward God and after towards the people. But yes, I think people must feel that responsibility in their at their scale. I think everybody has got responsibility on something, and I think I've got a responsibility. I can assume that I can take on that, and that there's no problem about that. I think if it helps people, that's good.
It's interesting you talk about natural reactions, natural tendencies, because I guess injustice is something that people generally, Muslim, non-Muslims, they feel strongly about. And for example, the invasion of Gaza was something that the world was just, it couldn't accept. And something as you as a human being and as a Muslim, you didn't want to accept either. And we have that, the incident where you supported Palestine, Palestine. والمرور عبر الأطراف وناخذ خلاص وكابتن والهدف الثاني لمصلحة نادي إشبيلية كنا نتوقع ذلك المد الأبيض لم يتوقف هنا العملية جميلة انطلقت من الجناح الأيمن خيسوس نافاس متابعة مساندة من دياغو كابيل واللمسة الأخيرة دون عناء من فريدريك كانوتي بكل سهولة يضع الكرة في الشباك هدفين مقابل لا شيء إشبيلية يسير نحو الوضع الخطوة الأولى أو القدم الأولى نحو الربع النهائي. What do you think about the reaction to that, the Spanish Federation, Football Federation, and how they reacted to that, and the happiness that it brought to the Palestinians, first of all, to the Muslims generally, to people who are looking for justice even more generally? What would you say about that? Do you feel the need to do things like that more? Do you think you could do more like that?
We can always do more. I felt I had to do it, and I felt that more people should have done it, honestly, because and what I didn't like is that they took that as a Muslim solidarity. Mm-hmm. It's human being solidarity.
Yes.
It is like we should see ourselves as citizens of the world before anything. And when there is injustice, whether it is against Palestinian or anyone else, mm-hmm. we should denounce it. You know, we should shout it loudly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I'm disappointed that not more people in terms of, I'm not talking about footballers, I'm talking about, you know, high,
yes.
You know, and I think it was really important. And then I would say that first, the reaction I had, and I'm really grateful because Spanish people first received that demonstration, I would say, very positively.
Mm-hmm.
And they thanked me. A lot of people,
really?
Spanish people.
Wow.
I'm not talking about Palestinian. Also,
yes.
I received a lot of emails from Palestinian and Arabic background people.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
but.
Yes.
First all the Spanish people.
Sure.
It was unbelievable. We have to remind people also that they demonstrated in a big number into the streets of Madrid,
yes.
of Seville, of a lot of big cities in Spain for the Palestinian cause.
Mm-hmm.
So
humans, not just Muslims.
Yeah,
it touched people on a human level.
Yeah, of course. And I didn't speak about the Muslim solidarity in that aspect, because first we have to see that this is injustice, and that's it. And injustice can be perpetrated mm-hmm. against Muslim and against Christian, and again, and we have to denounce it the same
yes.
the same way,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. And of course, all the people sending me emails from Palestine, from Lebanon, from Mr. from all the country, mm. from Africa, from, you know, it was great, but that's okay. And the Federation decided to give me a fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay. I don't even remember. I don't even remember about that. It was like a small
country.
Yeah.
The I think what's interesting is that the way that you're talking about how you don't feel the need to always sell yourself and always put yourself as the spokesman for Islam. It's more a natural role model position that you're happy to accept because of your general responsibility. You know, what's interesting is that Muslims look at sports people in a very high regard because Muslims, like everyone else, they regard sports people as the pinnacle. More than politicians, more than world leaders, they are the role models for humanity, whether we like it or not. And you see that Muslim sports stars, celebrities, you see some of them go overboard, and you see many, they don't even, you know, as if they hide their religion. So others, every time that the mic is put in front of them, it's always, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, I want to praise God, I praise Almighty Allah, and this and that, whatever. But I find that you have this kind of balance. Do you have a pressure to change that balance? Do you think that you should say these things more?
I always tend to think that... first of all, your example, your behavior is most important than anything else. I'm talking. I'm in contact with a lot of non-Muslims,
uh-huh.
and I have to talk to them in relation with their capacity of understanding. So that's right. That I'm not going to use one kind of vocabulary when I talk to non-Muslim, and I'm going to use a different one when I talk to Muslim, mm-hmm. but not because I treat them differently, just because of a level of understanding for them.
Sure.
And that's it, really. But I think, as you said, the most important thing is finding the good balance.
Yes.
And I just try to be in peace with myself, with what I do and what I speak also.
I come across a lot of Muslims in the areas that I work, and Allah was akin Allah ahad. I find yourself as a very religious, very spiritual man. Mashallah, tabarakallah. I was surprised actually by that. I'm going to be honest with you. And I guess this is a lesson to many, many people, that you don't know what's behind the pictures that you see, and it's very difficult to judge the hearts of the people. You're here in Mali to open. You opened the officially the Children's Village, Sakina, this wonderful charity project. Now, I have to say that your address yesterday, with all the dignitaries, all the ambassadors, and the presidents, and everyone that was there, with my dearest respect to them. Your address was something incredible. It was very emotional. It affected many, many people.
Merci à ma maman. Merci à mon père pour avoir été une source d'inspiration dans son expérience personnelle, puis par son aide précieuse à travers son association Rêve d'enfants du Mali, Sakina, mot d'origine arabe qui signifie paix intérieure, quiétude, sérénité. Parallèlement, sa racine dérive de la notion d'habiter et de s'établir. Ainsi, nous travaillons, souhaitons et prions pour que ces concepts et ces valeurs accompagnent nos enfants tout au long de leur vie.
I'd like you to perhaps share the inspiration for that, and just tell us a little bit about the reasons behind this project.
It's been years, you know, it's been years. When I arrived in London, I started to think about that. As I said earlier, on, I have a very mixed background family, and my father is from Mali. I've done some trip to Mali, and from very young age, I always had like this connection with this country. Don't know why it's like this, and I felt also for the poverty here that is really high, and I've always wanted to do something for Mali. And to be fair, when I the first couple of years as a footballer, I didn't think much about that. You know, you just arrive into a new job, into a new, you know, and after a couple of years, I started to think, and some personal experience also, and from me also being converting into Islam, into, you know, I really wanted to get involved into charity work, and I had to think how, and I started to think about a way of helping vulnerable children mainly, and I thought about education first, and we cannot talk about education if we don't tackle health problem here, if we don't tackle housing, because a lot of young people here are in the street and begging for some money, for some, you know, and little by little I tried to figure out a way of combining of putting everything together, and the idea of the children village came up, and we kept working on it, and I was in London. And yesterday, alhamdulillah, we could open it officially, although it's open since last September. Mm-hmm. And alhamdulillah, I would say that my father too has been like an inspiration, mm-hmm. because he's an orphan, and he's been raised, if we can say it, as an orphan, mm-hmm. because he lost his family at a very young age. And it was his dream also, so I've tackled two issues in at the same time, mine and my father's, so he was there yesterday.
Inshallah.
And it meant a lot for all my family, and it was one of the most beautiful day of my life yesterday, so that's why maybe yesterday you could feel that emotion into my speech.
MashaAllah, it's now up and running. But we want to support that now. And there's a large audience out there that now are aware of this, the project, the Sakina Project, and your foundation, the Community Foundation, community.com. Now, tell us how we, the Muslim public and the audience, can help you in the best way possible with this project. I've been there, I've seen it, I'm inspired by it, it's incredible work, tabarakallah. So tell us from yourself.
Well, I would say that, yeah, first log on canutefoundation.com to get a little more information about our project. The main project is the Sakina Children Village. So this is this is a housing unit, a housing complex of 10 houses of children. Each house can welcome 10 children. Mm-hmm. At the moment we have 25 children, and God willing, inshallah, in 1 year we will get the full capacity, which is 100 children. Mm-hmm. And we are about to look for funds also, you know, to build the school, mm-hmm. To build the skill training center, because the goal of this children village is not only to give food and shelter, is to give education, mm-hmm. to follow them until they reach their majority, mm-hmm. their, you know, this, mm-hmm. So it's a very long process, and we are willing to stick with that, you know, and so this is very, very important. We have support from outside, although our aim, our objective is to be self-sufficient because we have a program around also a farm complex, mm-hmm. you know, farm and agriculture, and you know, so we can grow our own food. We can grow. This is a whole complex of things that will make us, inshallah, self-sufficient. Mm. But of course, for the building work, for new infrastructure, I think we need some help from outside. So I will encourage people to get closer to the project first by going to kentefoundation.com, and after we would accept to get in touch with anyone that is willing to help.
Yeah, and I want to add from myself that this isn't just a Muslim project. Actually, it's for all the children, and because I guess the majority of Muslims will be watching this interview, I would say that the Muslims need to step up, because the other citizens of Europe, like UNICEF as a charity, and for example your Spanish football colleagues, the Champions of Africa games, mm-hmm. that you've been playing, mm-hmm. and raising that money, mm-hmm. and having high profile like Sergio Ramos and Aragonés involved, mm-hmm. in all of these games, they've done their part. A lot, mm-hmm. of people are putting, mm-hmm. Supporting this project. Mm-hmm. So I guess that Muslims also need to help more and more, although they have, of course, but...
Yeah, we would love to get even more Muslims association and foundations and charity to help us. But of course, we don't focus on them, because we are open to anyone, and we got good partnership, as you said, with UNICEF and other entity. And we are happy to collaborate with almost anyone. And I think, yeah, the charity work goes above all this religion. And when you want to help and genuinely help a child in the street, you don't ask about his religion, or you don't ask about his background. You just want to help. To help without forcing him being Muslim, mm-hmm. is different. It's not taking him and say, okay, now we have one more Muslim. Yes. No, you know what I mean? Yes. It's not the idea of the Sakina, no?
Yes.
Because we're a non-religious organization, and we genuinely want to help and collaborate with anyone. And I encourage people to help us. Also, you know, some of course Muslim organization, and we've been working with some of them. And they've been great also with us, and that's the way it should be.
We should remind the Muslims, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ana wa yatim kahatin fil jannah." Kafil yatim. Myself and the one who looks after the orphan will be in paradise like these two, yeah. fingers. So we have, I guess, an extra responsibility put upon us by Allah, by God, mm-hmm. to do that.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a wonderful project. Now, I guess we're running out of time. So what? I want to finish off with our number of questions that were submitted to us from Facebook and Twitter, from the people. So I guess a bit more, relaxed, I guess. How do you personally deal with Ramadan whilst playing? Kind of more high profile these days with the Suleiman Montari episode with mm-hmm. Jose Mourinho and so on. How do you get around it? What do you do?
I do my best, wallahi. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها.
Correct.
And that's what I've been practicing. Mm-hmm. Wallahi, I do my best, and it's really hard, especially in Spain, south of Spain, Seville, I think is the hotter place, one of the hottest place in the world.
Right, right.
This is unbelievable. Yes. In summer, we can reach 45 degrees
that's
easily. So this is quite incredible. And now Ramadan is in August.
Yes.
And it's really hard in Seville, but I try to maintain it. Mm-hmm. And for me and for Muslims, this is really great and a strong and spiritual month. And we do almost anything to stick with that, and I try to do my best to do all my fasting properly. Sometimes it gets difficult, and as I said, I do my best, and sometimes if I have to take it back later some days because mm-hmm. I couldn't comply,
yes.
I do it also.
I think the number of African football, tell me if this is right, African football is more in Spain for the Spanish La Liga clubs than the Premiership, other than Arsenal. Just to take Arsenal out of the equation, are there more Africans in, African Muslims, I should say, in Spain?
I don't think there are a lot of them in Spain. No. I think
in
France, more in France, definitely.
Yeah, okay.
But also more in Britain, I think. Okay. I think, yeah.
Because the profile between Muslim players and manager kind of problems, I think has been increasing a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't just want to say just Ramadan. I think there's a tension there. Do you think there's a tension? How do you deal with, for example, Salah and prayer and so on? Do you think you have an issue?
I think it depends on each coach, manager, club. It can be very different. But what I would say first, I would focus on the behavior. This is really, really important.
Yes.
The behavior of the Muslim in any club and the
in any industry, in anything. Yes.
And this is the example he's going to give, and this is the message he's going to convey to people through his behavior.
Yes.
And you will notice that if the Muslim behave very nicely with people, explain things. It's not like, for example, Ramadan comes, I don't care of you, kafir, I'm gonna do my,
what I mean?
This
course.
Is not good.
Yes.
So we have to convey also that message that you always have to be kind with people and they will respect you much easier. Uh-huh. Sometimes it doesn't work.
Yes.
But at least you've done your part.
Okay.
And it makes you, it makes things much easier for you, and after, if it doesn't work for everybody, but you do your best, and it depends, as I said, on each manager. Mostly all the managers I've had, they've been very comprehensive. No, they've been really they understood.
Okay, they're sympathetic
mm-hmm. about that issue of Ramadan, And they've respected it. Sometimes it's true that when the game comes and when it's very hot, you know, they wish I could drink, you know, so I can keep my strength,
yeah.
But when I explain, when I try to be to do my best on the ground, also they're okay. They say, okay, I respect what you do. That's
who's the nicest manager that you've worked with?
Oh, it's complicated. I've had many. I remember of. Harry Redknapp is nice manager. He's
our favorite in England, of course.
Yeah,
everyone loves old Harry.
Yeah. He's funny man. He's good man. He's, you know. I remember him.
He's a sensational player, but he just can't get goals.
No, I know. I spent Thursday morning with him, Charlie. I've got to be honest. Spent a lot of time with him on his finishing and. wait and see what happens today, Charlie.
I don't think I've ever seen you lost for words before, Harry.
I think it's about four balls up the M27.
Have that smasher time. Oh, get up there, Luigi. Wow.
Yeah.
Unlucky you, fair mugs. Well done.
Harry, it's Merce.
Hi, Merce.
All right. Harry, in the transfer market, what kind of players will you be looking for?
One like you, Merce. I don't think there's any around anymore.
I used to go and watch Arsenal. And anybody in London would be my devil football fanatic.
Who's inked me?
I'm Harry Anders, who's done a groin.
Still got control.
Have you kicked that over here?
Huh?
What? You try to kick it in the goal, you hit me? Brains, didn't you?
Hello, De Canio.
I was in Birmingham one day in a cup game, we were one up, and right on half time, they scored him a free kick. And he's supposed to have been lining up the wall or whatever. And so we come in, and Shaka goes, oh, he said, Paolo, you were supposed to. Oh, you blame me. Off he went.
Harry. Harry, congratulations.
We played Bradford City at home.
Sure.
Do you remember?
Yep.
We were 4-2 down.
Yeah, I remember the game. Yeah.
Right, he's had three blatant penalties. They were penalties, all turned down. Now, he goes to me, fuck, the last penalty he gets it. Comes walking over to the touchline. I don't play. I said, Paolo, He sits on the floor, I swear, in front of the dugout, crosses his arms, and then he goes like that. I don't play no more. I'm saying, Paolo, get up. We're losing 4-2 to Bradford, Paolo. Get up, Paolo. Paolo, get up quick. Then, next thing, they're dribbling the ball around him. He's still sitting on the floor, wasn't he, Rob? Crowd starts singing Paolo Di Canio. It was like the old Mackeson advert before you... Mackeson, and this Mackeson ball used to jump up and dribble with a ball. Paolo Di Canio, they're all singing... Oh, he jumps up. He gets the ball, I swear. He was there. He beats four players. We go through, bang, bang, we score. We're back in the game. Suddenly, 2 minutes later, he goes through again. He's saying, oh, something's bang. 4-4. 2 minutes to go, we get a penalty. Frank Lampard picks the ball up. Oh. Paolo comes over. They're pulling the ball.
Is a replay something that he really didn't want either way?
No, I was really looking forward to it. I thought it'd be a good idea a minute to go. I thought we'd, you know, give him a goal because I'd like to go to Elland Road on a Tuesday night. I haven't been up there for a few years.
See you, lads.
Take care.
Bye.
Good luck, mate.
Glenn Rodder, I had him also in West Ham. Okay. I remember a lot of manager and Juan de Ramos, okay, with whom we've won many trophy in Seville.
Okay.
And, you know, I've liked a lot of managers.
Who's the best manager? There's a difference between the two.
I would say Juan de Ramos.
Really, huh?
Yeah, because it's been we've been winning lots of, we have won lots of trophies with him, lots of titles, important titles with him. And I think he has a very good approach of football, approach also of people.
Okay.
This is really
people
important.
People management.
Yeah,
huh?
People management. It's really. I think it's almost half of the job when you're a manager. So he's doing that very well.
Which league is better, La Liga or the Premiership?
In terms of football quality, I would say.
Be careful.
I would say, oh no, I cannot say anymore. So no, I would say that in terms of skill and purely skill and technical quality, La Liga.
Yeah.
In terms of show.
Entertainment.
There is.
No comparison.
The Premiership is the best. And if I have to watch a Premiership game, I can watch any game,
yes,
even the two last bottom of the league,
yes,
you know, I can watch because it's going to be very...
I say that to people. People don't understand.
Yeah, no, it's nice. Yeah. I like it the way the spirit, the British spirit on the field is really impressive.
Okay, these are the funny questions now. Who's the best player that you've played with?
The best player I've played with? Oh, this is complicated. There are many, but... I think that the one who impressed me more, I was young, it's Sonny Anderson. When I was in, he played in Barcelona, it's a Brazilian player, he played in Lyon with me, he came to Lyon, and for me it was like, oh, it's, you know, and he was doing some unbelievable skills,
right,
in the, you know,
right,
and I was young, so I was more impressed.
Okay.
But after, I would say, play against, yeah, I can tell you many players.
Okay.
But play with, I didn't get impressed, as you know,
right,
by many, many players.
Okay.
But yeah, maybe, yeah, a few players, but against, yeah, a lot of players.
Okay, against them, who is?
Messi, Xavi,
okay,
Iniesta. These three are unbelievable.
So you agree, this Barcelona team, the best football team that's ever played?
Ever,
football?
ever. The best football team that the history has ever known, I think.
On the pitch, what is it that makes that, you know, that makes it so difficult? Why is it that everyone says the same thing? On the pitch, what's happening? We're watching it and just seeing poetry,
mm-hmm,
in motion, but what are you feeling on the pitch? Are you just being thrown around? I mean,
yeah, this is a concept of playing. It is not about only their own skill, on, you know, it's like they know exactly what their movement should be on the pitch, you know. So it makes it very difficult for you to catch the ball.
Yes.
Because everybody is in movement.
Yes.
And everybody knows.
They're all telepathically connected.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. So yeah, it's you almost feel dizzy when you're here in the middle and the ball just goes up. It's unbelievable, yeah.
Who do you think is the, this is the, an argument everyone has, the best player ever?
Ever?
Yes, in your opinion.
There is the old competition between Pelé and Maradona, and when I was a kid, I loved Pelé.
Okay.
Because I had more, maybe I had more videotape of Pelé than Maradona at home. So I was always watching his videos. So I would say Pelé, although Maradona is a great player. And recently, Messi. And I think the history will say if the biggest ever is either Messi or Pelé or Maradona, you know, but we have to wait a little bit with Messi to...
You still think that he's got more to prove, huh?
Yeah, but he's young. He's young. So I think if he still goes into that direction of being the best, I think he can be the best player ever. Yeah.
Okay. Question here. What's the best goal that you've ever scored?
Myself?
Yeah.
I would say the one against Everton.
Oh, Tottenham versus Everton. What, was it halfway line or outside the box? Did you try to kick out of the stadium and it just went into the top corner?
Yeah,
what happened to that?
It was a very lucky trick. It was about 40 yards or something like this, and you know, just a long kick from our goalkeeper.
Yes.
And I remember I touched the first ball, Poyet. Give it back with the head, a difficult ball bouncing like this, and I see, you know, the box and no one so close, and I say, okay, I do it, without thinking, and bim, and into the back of the net.
Canute. Oh my goodness me, what a cracker! Unshackled. Unleashed, unstoppable. Keller's first time ball, Canute with the initial flick, it came back off Poyet, and how he hit that. Like a missile into the top corner.
It'd be fair to say you don't score many outside the box.
No, that's right, because I'm more like... connection player.
Yes.
And when I arrived into the box, it's for the last shot, not to get around the box and trying to get a shot. I'm more outside the box. That's right. That I'm more about connection player, or even sometimes giving the last pass, or you know. And when I'm into the box, it's to finish the thing. The you know.
You're gonna really upset a lot of people in Sevilla. Though.
Yeah, but you know, in exchange for that, I had much more goals in Sevilla.
Of course.
So the numbers, the you know, the titles, the everything in Sevilla was like much more than in any other club. So
you're a legend there. I mean, let's be fair. Mashallah.
The people feel something for me, you know, in Sevilla. This is great, you know, wherever I go, where, you know, the people receive me with, you know, and yeah, that's right, there is big connection.
Someone asked, what's the best goal you've ever seen? Whether you've actually seen, okay, let's make it two. One you've actually seen physically, and then another one that you just know of, like a famous goal, that the best you've ever seen.
No, there is one of... This is a bit funny. The goal that Maradona scored to the World Cup of 86, I think.
Against England?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Against England, yeah. And...
Enrique to Maradona. Our different class. Different class. Maradona. Diego Mando Maradona.
The goal Messi scored a couple of years ago against Getafe.
Oh, yeah, 5-0.
It's almost the same.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yes.
And it was a bit funny because they were in the Spanish TV, they were like comparing, dividing the screen of the TV in two and showing exactly the, you know, the it was unbelievable.
Have you ever heard the Arabic commentary to that goal?
The Messi one?
Yes, the Messi one.
No, no.
It's I wrote about it 5 years or however many years ago, and I called it Ya Salam Ya Messi. That's all the commentator keeps saying all the way from the beginning. Ya Salam Ya Messi, Ya Salam Ya Salam Ya Messi.
Yeah.
The most incredible goal.
Okay.
Good, Alakin. Esquero, El Aguero, Victor Valdez, Watoram, Wasabiola. الخمسة مسمح تسجيلهم هنا ليو ميسي يتقدم ويتخلص من اثنين يقودهم لبرشلونة ما طالت ما طالت ما طالت اوه اوه يا سلام يا سلام يا سلام يا ميسي يا سلام يا ميسي يا سلام انطلاقة صاروخية تأتي من ليو ميسي اللقطة جميلة اللعبة جميلة المرور جميل لكن راح نلاحظ لاحظ كرة شادي ميسي هذا واحد هذا الثاني لاحظ الكرة وين ما طالت على الإطلاق التقدم هذا الثالث هذا الرابع حارس المرمى وين هو حارس المرمى يتخلص من حارس المرمى وهدف خرافي لليو ميسي هدف خرافي لليو ميسي لاحظ الكرة وين الانطلاقة وين الانطلاقة والمرور من الجميع بهذا الشكل انه ارجنتيني انه ارجنتيني.
You pretty much achieved everything in your career, right? We have to remind ourselves that we talk about names like George Weah, Didier Drogba, African footballers of the year, but you were also African footballer of the year, mashallah, 2007.
Yeah.
Right? You pretty much achieved, you know, what everyone could possibly have wanted to achieve in football. Are there any regrets that you think that, you know, I wish that I could have done this professionally speaking?
Regrets? No, I think, you know, I really believe into my own destiny, and I'm satisfied. Not satisfied in the self satisfaction, but satisfied in the way of I've done what I had inside. I've given everything that I had inside, and I feel good about what I've done, even though you can always do more and ask more from yourself, but I'm really happy. I've been, as you said, Footballer of the Year in 2007 for Africa, which was one of the best professional day of my life, because this is, you know, to represent Africa in football also, not only in charity, but in football also, for me was a really important thing into my career.
What is that the biggest highlight of your career? Would you say that was the biggest highlight of your career?
Being African Player of the Year? Mm-hmm. One of the biggest, one of the biggest, and my spell in Seville also, because it was unbelievable. The first 2-3 years, we were winning like everything we could possibly win, apart from Champions League and Liga, we are winning all other competition, all of the, you know, and it was, and I would say the first European Cup I've won was, you know, one of the best turn into my career.
There are a lot of people, young Muslims, who are, you know, they look at people like you and they want to become obviously successful. Do you think, because there's a question here about advice to young Muslims, do you think that a person is born to be a good footballer, or do you think that it really is about practice and skill and continual practice, and you make yourself into?
Both. There are both kind of people. Some people have got more natural skill and natural tendency to be good footballer. And if they work on it very hard, they can be very successful. Some people haven't got no skill at all, and they can be very good. Mm. Not excellent, but very, very good through work. And in life, this is the same.
Sure.
And some people are very skillful, very natural, naturally skillful, and big talent, but they don't do nothing. And a lot of people I know, they are like this because they don't work.
So, what's your advice then to young Muslims? What would your advice?
Whether they're good or not, they have to work.
Okay.
They have to work, and they have to get self-confidence. but without losing this quality of work and they should work a lot. They should work a lot and not losing confidence and not losing their dreams.
So let's close with this. What is your remaining big ambition? What's left for Freddie Roma Canute?
Lot of things in terms of charity work. First, I think I'm getting more and more involved into my charity work. So, to be fair, I realize more and more that involved into important things like this. You know, I really like that, and I think I would. I'm telling you that also because I'm in Mali, because we've just done the launch, and this is really important for me right now. You know, and I would like to still go into that direction, and you know that Sakina village is full of young, talentful. How do you say?
Talented
young. Young people, young lads, and that these people, these young kids become some important people into changing the African society towards what is better for Mali, for example. And I have many other wish, but I think I will stop there.
Jazakumullah
khair.
And we wish you the very best. Wafakakallah fi kulli shay.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.